Growth management is always a hot topic. I've got Matthew Latch talking with me in the first hour. He runs a website called TLH Development. If you find his work interesting. And we're going to have Mayor John Daly with me in the second hour as we talk about Tallahassee's growth and this recent acquisition of the Northwood Center. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. And by Chelsea Salon and Spa, Tallahassee's largest Aveda lifestyle spa and salon since 1979.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widdenglass.com.
We are again, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, coming to you from the luxurious studios of Moose Magnificat, courtesy of Alcom Media and Entertainment, known to many by way of various contributions we've tried to make for your good over the years. Yes, sir. Started in 1992, we did. Alcom doing its thing, audio and, you know, video productions and mostly stuff for local business, marketing and advertising kind of things. Lots of on-hold messages. People say, I hear your voice all over town, all over his phone system. Yeah, well, put four kids through college, so shut up. Still doing that. And in the meantime, we decided we should have a radio station that features all local musicians playing their original songs. You know? I guess there's a thing here for me, and you know this, if you've listened to my show at all, you're probably sick of it. I don't blame you. There's a thing about being honest, being genuine, being... I guess sort of inclusive, I don't know, open-handed about things in life. Just, you know, give it a chance, right? I mean, I guess we're all subject to being, to some degree, closed-minded about stuff. You know, my mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the facts sort of attitude. Right. Any one of us can say, yeah, I'm probably guilty of that at some point or another, depending on the topic. I have met a few souls in my travels thus far who are genuinely curious. They just want to know stuff. And they're not really calcified. You know, they haven't come to a place yet in life. And I'm not talking about people who are necessarily youthful in their approach to life. Although I think some of the people that I've come across of this kind, though they may be older folks, you know, I mean, they're not kids. They still have a kind of wide-eyed curiosity. And I wouldn't even call it an innocence. It's more this level of determination to be in a discovery mode. What else can I learn? What else can I know? And it's a refreshing characteristic in someone when especially when it is not a curiosity based in their need to know more than I do or to prove to me that they're smarter than I am, which doesn't take a whole lot of effort, by the way. Let's be clear about that, you know. But curiosity for curiosity's sake, is that the right way to put that? It's a kind of exploration that goes on when my father-in-law, God rest him, he was this way. I miss him. He passed away a number of years ago. But he was a guy who just asked a lot of questions. And he knew a lot of stuff, but he loved learning from someone else stuff that he didn't already know. Or if he knew something about it, he'd like to know what your take is on the topic. Yeah, good old Dominic. He was that way. Skillful man, by the way. He was a tool and die maker. They still have those. This is a guy who was a machinist, we would say. A rare breed, but certainly a part of a generation that, man, somebody has made the observation, without people like that, the builders and the machinists and, you know, the plumbers and the electricians, guess what, man, you're in trouble. And those are trades that are suffering, right along with our medical personnel. Pretty much the only thing we know how to do now is run ourselves crazy on a cell phone. It's got way off topic here. But I want to tell you that there is a kind of curiosity then in the exploration of what is Tallahassee for me. You know, I'm right there with you, living this thing out day to day. Doing what I have to do, you know, take care of the home front, pay the bills and all that jazz. So we're all doing our part, or at least most of us. But if you're just kind of running around the track, if you're just in this sort of treadmill mentality, you know, day after day, round and round we go, I think you're missing out on some stuff. I think you're missing out on not just the stuff to be known, but looking at the process by which these things come about. Okay, and I'm not asking you to, you know, to be too academic here with me, but when you're driving down the road and you see something new coming into play, or you see a building that's being modified, or whatever. And if your curiosity isn't sparked at that, hey, well, what's going on? You know, who's doing that? I just think you're kind of just missing the best part of this whole thing. Discovery, exploration, creativity. Somebody's got a new idea for a business, or somebody's bringing a business that itself may foster other new ideas about how to do stuff. Well, that's what this TLH development website is all about. This is Matthew Latch, who's going to be with me here in this first hour. I've got Nancy Dignon coming to you shortly with another My Weather View. So we'll do that. And we're going to learn from Matthew what got him going. You know, he's a graduate of Florida State University, and political science was his background, I believe. But, you know, he just has become a big fan of Tallahassee. Not a native, by the way, but has become particularly curious as to how we are developing as a community, economically and socially, culturally, the infrastructure that is a part of all of that, right? How decisions are being made that affect your future and mine, how public monies are being spent, what's being encouraged in the way of development, north side, south side, east or west of us. How does that all play into what this town can be, might be, for our future? Does that impact you? Yeah, it does, believe it or not. So, Pay attention, folks. And as we do, let me tell you that we're going to keep you informed as best we can with several projects we have going. Our Tallahassee Food Challenge is already afoot, we'd say, and doing quite well in informing everybody, reminding us all to take the challenge. So in taking that challenge, we're going to look for opportunities to give generously to the local food charities who labor to try to overcome the stark reality that Leon County ranks third in the state for food scarcity. Several zip codes, neighborhoods in our own community where people are going hungry day after day. Well, here's your opportunity. Take the challenge, fill a bowl, feed the hungry. Find out more when you go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are looking at local weather. Man, how about that Memorial Day weekend? So one of my friends posted stupid meme or whatever it was. It looked like a kid's toy that had gone through fire, like this little figurine. It was clearly staged and all that, but and the caption was, "Have you been outside?" Yeah, all right. Well, I thought it was funny, but then, you know, hot it has been, record heat around the country, and Tallahassee no less so. So if here you are on this weekend and it's a little bit cooler, thank you. Maybe we can take a breath, you know. And don't forget your sunscreen, though, because, you know, that never really changes. Even on overcast days, right, when it's cloudy, man, you can get a sunburn. Because it's not about the direct rays. It's about ultraviolet rays kind of thing, right? Isn't that what? How that works, right? So just, if you're out in the sun for a long time or outdoors for a long time, wear sunscreen. It's a good thing to do. So today is June 1st, which means Leon County is doing its part along with the city to get us prepared for hurricane season, as we know, begins June 1st. And our good friends with the city of Tallahassee want you to know that the local residents should begin now preparing. Well, yes, and we've been telling you that even before now, right? Well, to help out, City of Tallahassee and Leon County and community partners, as they're referred to, they're hosting an annual Build Your Bucket Disaster Preparedness Expo. That's today. In fact, it's going on right now, and it goes all the way till noon today. So you may be en route, but if you're out and about and listening to the show, well, this is your moment. It's over there at the Alfred Lawson Jr. Multipurpose Center. That's on Wanish Way, Florida A&M University campus, 1800 Wanish Way. The Al Lawson Multipurpose Center. That's where you want to go, and you can build your bucket. It's a family-friendly expo with dozens of community response groups that'll offer hands-on demonstrations and valuable info, interactive exhibits to help residents learn more about how to prepare, respond, and recover in the event of a disaster. Attendees can visit exhibitors at their own pace to learn about these local resources. Right. So build your bucket today till noon, Alfred Lawson Multipurpose Center there at FAMU. And I will add to that by saying, if you are building your own bucket at home, here's some helpful items: batteries, a battery-powered AM/FM radio, a blanket, yes, a tarp, and then your personal things: water, towel, toothbrush, toilet paper, soap. Yeah, don't forget that stuff. A pocket knife, that's a very useful item. Portable phone charger, ponchos. Am I going too fast here? I'll tell you what. If you'll go to TallahasseePrepared.com, this is our campaign annually to keep you informed. You'll find all of this listed there for you. Helpful reminders of the things that you and I need to do, not just during hurricane season, but throughout the year. Staying prepared for severe weather. That's the purpose of TallahasseePrepared.com, which is our sponsor today for Nancy Dignon, who is here with us, and another My Weather View. Nancy?
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is My Weather View for this week. So over the last couple of weeks, we've heard predictions about the upcoming hurricane season. Don't groan yet. We're still kind of on the heels of the last hurricane season, and even from 2018, and then most especially Hurricane Michael, we were still dealing with the cleanup from Irma, and perhaps even for some folks, you know, the leftover stuff from Hermine from 2016. So what have you heard and what have I heard? They come up with numbers. There's a group at Colorado State University that used to be led by Dr. Bill Gray. He's handed it off to Phil Klotzba. And so he's running the computer models. And so his forecast is we should have a little less activity than normal in the Atlantic Basin. What does that mean? Well, average numbers. We typically get about 11 tropical storms. And out of those 11 tropical storms, normally the 100-year average is we get 6 hurricanes. Well, Colorado State is saying, I think a little less. They're going to go with 5 hurricanes, though they're anticipating about 13 tropical storms. So it would seem a couple more tropical storms and one less hurricane. Then there's a group called AccuWeather, a private firm. They're based out of Pennsylvania. Their forecast, and they've got a range here, they're going with 12 to 14 tropical storms. Again, keep in mind 11 is average. 5 to 7 hurricanes. Again, 6 is average. Well, it's not too far or off what we typically get. And what does it mean? What if they said we were going to have 35 hurricanes? Well, I tell folks this all the time. It doesn't matter the number. It matters where it hits. A lot of the leanings this year were because they were seeing signs of what we call an El Nino develop. El Nino is a warming in the Pacific, and what it does is kind of alters the wind flow near the equator. So let's say we normally have trade winds. They pick up tropical systems, moving them from east to west, and now it's going to reverse that flow, kind of pushing the air from the west. It would stifle a hurricane or a tropical system from developing, and it could cause it to fall apart if the wind speeds were that strong. So normally during what we call an El Nino year, we don't get as many hurricanes. But I got to remind you guys, you can get a really strong hurricane during an El Nino year, and if it's going to hit you, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. So these predictions come out this time of year, just as we're kind of getting ready for the season to begin. And of course, it begins June 1st. And then they give you the numbers. And then people start to get into a panic. Oh my gosh, we're going to have more hurricanes. We got to do this. We're not going to have quite so many. We don't need to do a thing. You always need to stay weather prepared. The reason for that is all it takes is one. Again, if it hits you, it's the worst thing ever. Even if it were only a weak system. I may have mentioned this in another weather view that I've done for you guys, but my neighbors across the street had a tree fall literally into their house during Hurricane Hermine. 20 feet in, they have a two-story house, and the water was just pouring in as the eye wall was, you know, blasting us right there from the coast inland.
And they were literally out of their house until the following May. So 6 months while they were waiting for a repair. In actuality, Hermine was a Category 1 hurricane. The name is still on the list because it wasn't even retired because it wasn't really strong. But it hit them. And to them, it was the worst thing ever. If it impacts you, it can be the worst thing ever. It will impact every aspect of your life. Whether you can live in your house, whether you have to evacuate, whether you have to pack it all up, you know, the things that are there that are important or personal, etc., etc. So the numbers are out there. It should be, in actuality, close to a typical hurricane season, but we haven't seen typical in quite some time. You know, there used to be the joke about how nothing ever happens here in Tallahassee, and I sure think that Mother Nature put down her beer and she said, yeah, wait a minute. And so she changed things up, and now it seems like we get a lot of these events. So you always have to stay weather aware. Think about it as we start to approach the hurricane season, and we'll talk next time about what you should be doing as you approach the hurricane season. This has been My Weather View, and I'm Nancy Dignan.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So when it comes to the development of, meaning the business growth, the residential growth of this city, county, interesting topic, no less, for our guest today, Matthew Latch. He has a rather curious approach to Tallahassee's development, and I would refer to him as a student of the subject, although he might disagree. But certainly he's taken more than just a casual interest in this, and for his part has done rather nicely, I think, with a website he calls TLH Development. So while you're listening, you might want to pull that up on your phone, TLHdevelopment.com. Same name on Facebook. And you're going to learn a lot then from Matthew, about where we are. Particularly if you're just curious and you just want to say, okay, what? I saw this thing going up. What is that? Well, there's a good chance that Matthew's already been out there and done his homework, and you're going to learn a lot just by going to the website. So let's welcome Matthew to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you, Brian? I'm doing pretty well, man.
Longer than usual introduction to a simple topic, but is it fair to say that you are trying to help us sort out this, what would appear to be a simple topic, but there's a great deal of complexity, trying to help us get a better view? Or is it entirely just you're curious and your curiosity compels you?
I would say that I'm a little bit of both. You know, my curiosity sort of dragged me into this, but at this point I'm well aware of the sort of, you know, diametrical opposition between two sides of the city, which is like the people who are generally pro-development and the people who are generally anti-development. Yeah. And my bias, if anything, would be trying to find something down the middle, not stepping on anyone's toes. I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's like you were saying, development is literally just you're clearing dirt and you're putting up a structure. No more. Like that is development if we're just speaking in terms of real estate development.
Sure.
So there are a million ways to do that. You can develop new things in a way that doesn't offend people who care about you know, environmental issues, and there's a way to defend the environment without, you know, stifling development completely. Quite frankly, there is, and I think people get lost in that and go up at each other's throats.
Interestingly enough, you know, from my observation, been pretty transparent, I guess, and rather unbiased in your postings. When I go through the TLH Development website, it seems to me you're doing the job that you would expect of somebody who is truly simply reporting on.
Have not received a cash offer yet, but you know, if you're listening, no, I'm kidding.
Well, there's always that aspect in the background, I understand, with anything we do. But that's just because you're experienced and you're smart, I think.
No, yeah, I like to keep the platform free and clear of that stuff.
I love this one post you did recently, new efforts to restore the historic Monroe House.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
The Monroe House is a single-family residential home that was built somewhere between like 1904 and 1908, just kind of by, you know, an upper class Tallahassee family. And this was probably at the time, like almost on the border of the city.
Yeah.
You know, per the city limits back in the early 1900s.
Right.
And the house is still standing. And wow. That's like a relatively difficult thing to do for for a structure. You know, especially in our city where we have a lot of redevelopment of older buildings.
So in addition to the historic, you have an interest in, let's say, the more contemporary kinds of things.
Yeah.
And here we have Maryland fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a cultural contribution now.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you know, I like to talk about any project. One of my favorite projects was about the Golden Corral renovations. And I just titled the blurb, No Project Too Gilded. And I don't know. It's just...
Well done, sir.
Yeah. It's, right. I like to talk about anything.
Yeah. Well, in this respect, you find yourself then being a kind of self-appointed reporter, a journalist who takes it upon himself then to get out there. With this particular subject matter in mind, where does this begin for you? You're a graduate of Florida State.
Right.
Got your degree in poli-sci, yeah. Right? You have somehow stumbled into this? How did this start?
Well, it goes back long before graduation to when I had initially gotten here in 2012. And Tallahassee was a lot more like we probably remember if we just think about Tallahassee.
Yeah. You know, originally from Miami.
That's correct, yeah. And came up here, you know, to go to Florida State. And it was around 2012 that the first dirt started getting turned around Collegetown.
I see.
And the first structure to come up was this building called 601 Copeland. And I saw the brochure for it, and I was like, this is like something from where I'm from. I haven't seen anything like this in Tallahassee. This is interesting.
Right.
I looked for more information about it, and I found a website called Urban Tallahassee, which at the time was run by a really good dude named TJ Lewis, who, you know, his existence is the reason I'm even able to talk about development in Tallahassee.
Really?
I followed it after 2012. I followed all the growth and development in Tallahassee. A few years later, I was, you know, writing guest articles for Urban Tallahassee. Later on, I would guest write for another outlet, the other Tallahassee. At that point, I was in on it. You know, like 2016, when I graduated, I was someone who knew about development in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had begun following local, you know, municipal affairs as well, which doesn't hurt one's knowledge about
development. Well, in fact, when you're looking at a town that, for its life, has been rather... entrenched, we'll say. Not that there's a definitive answer to this, but where do you think that is coming from? How is it that all of a sudden in this time, everything is just coming alive?
Well, I guess after a few decades of the city, county, and state investing in Tallahassee, they're just kind of looking around saying, can someone throw us a bone? And here the private developers coming along and saying, yeah, we'll throw you a bone. But I don't know. It's... the two major issues with development are going to be population density and income, you know, for a metropolitan statistical area. And I suppose as the decades go on, you know, Tallahassee more fits that threshold, and that spurs outside development to kind of, you know, look at Tallahassee and be like, we should put something up
there. So the economic drive is there. Census data indicates, an influx of population.
And that's how a new franchise or a new hotel or you know, anything gets put up here from out of city.
So they're looking at all those forecasts. Yeah, and I think in terms of the kinds of businesses coming into this community, a lot of it is sensitive to that sort of older, softer, southern kind of way of life. As opposed to stuff that probably just wouldn't make it here, right?
Right.
Yeah. Very curious. I've got Matthew Latch here. He's the curator for the TLH Development, which is this really nifty website. If you get a moment, go to it, tlhdevelopment.com. A couple of the other things that I took note of has to do with this Sheriff's Office training facility. Talk about that for a minute.
Leon County Sheriff's is making a budgetary request with the Leon County Board of Commissioners, County Commissioners. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, but we're getting a new helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just a, that's not really privy to my, you know, my writing, but the sheriffs are getting a new helicopter, and they're also putting in a budgetary request for a new training facility. Mm. And, you know, there's something that really struck me about it. And it's not the fact that there's a cool, like, house training simulation, like, shooting range, scuba facility, you know, rappelling course. Those are all cool things, but they also decided to throw in, and we want to have an inmate aquaculture program. And that's the kind of stuff that only happens in Tallahassee. Like, that's a cool thing that they're doing that they don't have to do.
Folks, stay with me. I've got Matthew Latch here. The guy who is behind the TLH Development website. You really want to check it out, tlhdevelopment.com. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So I'm back. I'm talking with Matthew Latch, talking Tallahassee Development. In that regard, talking about Northwood Center, the responsibilities that now the city has taken upon itself in wanting to reshape, repurpose the building, all of the buildings, including some of the outbuildings. I mentioned earlier we're going to have Mayor John Daley with us here in the second hour and talk with him a little bit about that. Now, he's pretty proactive on that. Felt like it was a great move. You've got these standing businesses that are income generating. You took a little different point of view on that.
Well, Mayor Daley is a friend of mine. I you know, volunteered and worked with his campaign. Mm-hmm. So he'll be mad at me that mm-hmm. he said I wrinkled my nose.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like I've discussed with him. It was the biggest curveball that I had ever been hit with. I don't know if you watched the city commission meeting where it happened.
I did.
But it was like last 5 minutes of the ball game.
Right.
Something wild happens.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I was like, huh.
Right.
Did not see that one coming.
Did not,
and, you know, I would later sit down with him and ask him, hey, so what's going on with that? And he was like, well, here's why we're doing it. And I was like, okay, I feel a little bit more reassured now. So that particular structure is most likely not salvageable, and I'm a guy who really likes to salvage buildings. I don't think things should be demolished if they don't have to. That building has to be demolished. That said, $6.8 million was it for, you know, 33 acres in what I will now refer to as Uptown, because it's not downtown, it's North Monroe. You know, that gives us good holding power over that. And that's 33 acres of pavement that could be torn up and turned into permeable ground. And that eases the stormwater runoff.
You were quick to say, though, that in the outset of this decision, there were going to be carrying costs.
Yes, there will.
And those were the concerns you had in regard to, wait a minute, it all looks good on the front end.
Right.
But have you looked at the long term?
Yeah. Those costs will be most likely, this is me guessing, any structure built prior to, you know, they were built in 1959, I think, 1969. I don't remember. I wasn't alive. But there will be likely asbestos abatement, lead abatement. There will likely be environmental concerns pertaining to the guano that had existed still. There may still be live animals, which a separate firm would have to deal with. That's all on top of the demolition. So there has to be a really good ROI, a return on an, on investment for this part, for this property, for it to make sense at a at the acquisition price that we, you know, we made.
Well, with them getting pushback in the relocation of the City of Tallahassee Police Department,
right,
this becoming then a candidate for that might be the impetus in and of itself, right?
Yeah, it, it was already a top contender, but there was a public process that was being managed by an assistant city manager, and I'm not certain if the acquisition, I mean, yes, if we talk on the face, it will likely affect where the police station will be placed. But I know there was discussion among the commission to make sure that the acquisition of Northwood did not affect the police station relocation process.
Yeah. And from your vantage point, you just kind of sit back with me for a minute and think about which areas of the city, county, get most of the attention, right? Is it always driven by the money? Is it the people who have the money and want to make the money that are calling those shots? And I'm thinking particularly of those neighborhoods where you've had either opportunity zones declared or you've got CRA districts that are in operation. Frenchtown comes to mind, of course.
Yeah.
Just kind of your read on all that.
Well, I would say money talks in every city. So, you know, things are naturally going to happen sometimes that line up with what a developer wants. That's just a thing that happens universally. The second thing you mentioned were those special districts, which are actually a lack of attention. Those are districts that scream out for investment. That's why, you know, opportunity zones have such great, you know, income tax rebates. That's why the CRA will give out $1 million sort of almost willy-nilly. So it's those places don't get attention, and that's why those special districts do exist, kind of just a recompense for that that lack of attention.
When you think about the next 5 years, do you think about the next 5 years? Do you think about the pattern of growth that you see at this time and where that seems to be leading us? Is there any kind of rhyme or reason to it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that we're seeing sustained growth in you know, the Northeast that everybody knows about. There are people out there who are building lots of homes. They will continue to build lots of homes. And as far as the, well, you kind of have to follow the major infrastructure projects. I'm sure you're aware of Blueprint. Blueprint 2020 in particular is coming up, and that will be when we start dishing out, you know, $50-60 million projects along major corridors, and that will actually drive the growth. And you do have projects with Blueprint 2020 that are up in the Northeast, and that's sort of what I was thinking about, like the Wilani project,
right,
and the Bannerman expansion,
right,
and that'll further, you know, create growth, which in my opinion will create more congestion up there. And but then you have some projects, you know, over more toward the center of the city, which will hopefully work toward revitalizing parts of our urban
core. But and the fact that Southtown itself seems to be on the radar for the next level of attention. So with the Gain Street projects well having been completed, and there's more going to happen there, but those who have complained have said, well, yeah, you've removed the soul of what was the All Saints District. You know, it's been Disneyfied to the point where there's really not a whole lot of that, and that was originally part of that whole Gain Street culture. Similar comments coming from people in the Frenchtown area. So when the police department said, or the city of Tallahassee said, oh, I know, let's put the police department down here on Orange Avenue or wherever they wanted to go,
yeah,
the local neighborhoods were like, hell no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So do you get concerned about that kind of thing if the whole Northeast development is going to be more congested? What happens to Southtown?
Well, just for the record, that was kind of a bad idea from the start, and the new commission really cleared it up quickly. Mm-hmm. So kudos to them for that. That is no longer an issue. Mm-hmm. They did really well on that. Northeast development is sprawl. I mean, in mm-hmm. unambiguous terms, it is that thing that people who care about the environment talk about, mm-hmm. And are very worried about. Mm-hmm. So when I think about, urban...
And you're saying they should be.
Yeah, generally, mm-hmm. yeah. I most good cities don't, try to overextend themselves. Most good mm-hmm. cities focus on their core structure mm-hmm. and try to work themselves out in an incremental way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like our... not to get on a tangent, but... urban infill can be done conscientiously and can be done in a way that doesn't displace people. We've got so many surface lots. One thing I do hear from developers is there's no more room in the city. There's no more room in the what is the multimodal district of Tallahassee.
Right. To which you say,
I live there. We have room. Come on down. Like, we have so many vacant lots. It is...
Yeah.
An unimaginable yeah. occurrence, and we do have so many empty structures that can be rehabilitated.
It's called TLHdevelopment.com for your information and your direction. Lots of archived articles here as well, so you can go back through some of the pages of the site and find out about a project that you've had questions about. Our guest this morning, Matthew Latch. Good to have you with us, my friend.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks for spending the time.
Appreciate
Folks, you stay
me.
With me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. Mayor Daley is here.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host. At the helm, the famous King Cabba and his magical spaceship. Bringing us to you by way of Moose Magnificat Radio, online at moosemagnificat.com. If you haven't downloaded the app, you need to do that. No, there's no advertising. You're not going to get hit with, all that. No ads. And we don't collect any info other than just connecting to your phone so you can listen to all of Tallahassee's music right there. Local musicians playing their original songs. That is Moose Magnificat. We call it the sound of Tallahassee. And yes, it is. And all kinds of genre there. You've got blues and jazz and classical music and pop and, urban and rap and country and bluegrass and on it goes. Everybody along the line. Bell and the Band, all the way to the 76ers and Sarah Mack and some of the newer artists that we've come across. Taller Trees, fabulous group. Nick Goff, he's a rapper. Yeah, they're all Tallahasseans. Yes, they are. So if you want to know what the sound of Tallahassee is, well, right along with the rest of the population in general, we are a diverse group of folks, no question about it. Maybe that diversity is more prominent in our minds because we're a small town. After all, Leon County is under 300,000. What are we, around 200,000 in Leon County? If you take the metro, the five-county Standard Metropolitan Statistical Area, the MSA. Yeah, Tallahassee-Thomasville. Well, that's about 500,000 folks there. In any case, We are a diverse group of folks coming from all walks of life and levels of education and income, and ethnicities and race. Yeah, man, it's reflected, I think, in the music. You'll hear it, and all this wonderful collection of stuff. Scotty Barnhart and Drew Tillman, they're all right in there. Jerry Thigpen, Brett Wellman. A lot of these folks have been on the show. You know that, right? You've listened over the years, and they're out and about. Now, on that topic, I need to tell you something very exciting is happening. Show of hands. Oh, that's right, I can't see you. Well, wherever you are, raise your hand if you agree. The Bradfordville Blues Club is a very cool thing. All right, you see, some of you are not raising your hand, but that's okay. Some of you think the BBC is, it's whatever. But for those who are true fans of Bradfordville Blues Club, you know that this little juke joint has hosted some of the most remarkable musical talent around the country, and has done so in spades. I mean, these folks are just killing it. And in fact, the place itself has an historic part of the region, part of that Chitlin Trail, they used to call it. You know, this is the time when black performers were not allowed to play in white-only clubs. And so the Bradfordville Blues Club was one of those along the circuit where if you wanted to hear blues particularly, or any black musician, yeah, that's where you're going to be. The Negro League, Baseball League, played on that field out there. There's a marker at the Bradfordville Blues Club that identifies the significance of this particular facility, this location. And while that may not seem like a big deal to you, well, it's a big deal. Because here's the thing. If you really want to understand who we are as a community, right? If you really want to understand the history of Tallahassee, you have to understand all parts of it, including the BBC, including segregation, including Frenchtown. You realize that Frenchtown, prior to the removal of Lincoln High School, was a thriving economic hub. Yeah, the teachers at Lincoln High School back in those days, prior to 1969, they were all doctoral and master level teachers. And talk to Jim Bellamy over there in Frenchtown. I mean, it was a formidable academic institution. Desegregation came along, and they decided, well, let's move the high school out of there and put over here on the east side of town. Lincoln High School now is over there. Yeah. And when that happened, they tore the heart out of the community. And so for the next several decades, you see the decline in the neighborhoods, economically, socially. Remarkable thing, it really, really is. And in that respect, we have to consider that that's all part of us. It's not them, it's us. And we, as a community then, bear up under the good and the bad. What BBC is today is an extension of what it was 70 years ago or better. So when we say the Bradfordville Blues Club brings to us great musicians, well, it's been doing that for a long time. Here's the announcement, the grand news. We will be broadcasting tonight live from the BBC, and we'll be doing this every Saturday night, 9 o'clock, you can listen to Moose Magnificat live from the BBC from 9 to 10:30 is the plan. And you're going to hear some of the best music on the planet. Some of the best musicians that come in there, courtesy of Gary and Kim Antone over there, who've been at the helm for a number of years, getting through some tough times they have. And we're there to be a part of that in helping to promote the club and bring you the music. MooseMagnificat.com, that's where you're going to go. Again, download the app. Tune in tonight, 9 o'clock, the debut of Live from the BBC. Just for you. And I think it's going to be a relationship with the club that we're going to enjoy for a number of years. Looking forward to that, working with those guys. It all happens because there are people behind the scenes on our side and on their side who care enough to say, hey, it's worthwhile. And that's going to lead me to tell you that a lot of the things we do around here are really for your welfare. Because it's enough to us that it matters to keep you better informed of. I mentioned the Tallahassee Food Challenge. You want to pay attention to another project that we have mastered. It's called Tallahassee Prepared. And here we are reminding you to stay prepared for severe weather. As of today, hurricane season begins. Stay prepared for severe weather throughout the year. Go to TallahasseePrepared.com.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
John Evans Daly was born December 7, 1972. He is the mayor of Tallahassee, Florida, and has been serving since November 19 of last year. Previously, he served for 12 years on the Leon County Board of County Commissioners and representing Northwestern Leon County, Florida, from 2006 to 2018. Remarkable individual he is. Raised in Tallahassee, Daly is the son of the late Dr. J. Scott Daly, who served as a member of the Leon County School Board from 94 to 02, and is director of the Florida Institute of Government, for nearly three decades. We have with us this morning our good friend, friend of many, Mayor John Daly. How are you, sir?
Brian, I'm great. It is wonderful to be back in studio. Thank you.
It's been a while. We were last together when you were on the trail.
I know.
And you were kind enough to help us appear there at the press conference for our Tallahassee Food Challenge.
That's right.
Which I don't know if you got wind of all this, but they all got really weird because they were concerned that somehow we were endorsing a given candidate.
Right.
Right. And they're a nonprofit over there at Second Harvest. And I think the rest of us were like, huh?
Right.
What's the deal? Nobody's worried about that. But, well, the times we live in.
That's right.
Everybody has to kind of, I guess, keep themselves covered. But in any case.
And they do great work at Second Harvest.
Oh, they do.
Really,
and,
really
and that's
thrilled
why we
to have them in our
there.
Community.
I mean, our Tallahassee Food Challenge is that entirely.
Right.
It is all about challenging one another to take responsibility for
right.
the fact that Leon County is third in the state for food scarcity.
Right.
Yeah. So we have a lot of great things going on, and we have a lot of great people, and we have a lot of good ideas, and we've made some remarkable progress, I would say, culturally, technologically, socially in the last decade. But we are continually faced with populations, subpopulations within our community. And I look at the metro. I look at five counties.
Right.
I understand, governmentally speaking, it's beyond our purview, your purview, city of. But in real terms, in practical terms, the people who live in Quincy and Blountstown and, heck, I mean, East Point, they come up here to work, to buy stuff, to be entertained. They go to the movies and the shows.
Right.
So when I think of Tallahassee, I think of all of us who are quite different culturally, economically. Is that how it fits for you?
Well, I agree that it's important for us to be great community partners on a regional level. If you look at our transportation planning, it is done formally a lot of times on the regional level through our Metropolitan Planning Organization. So, of course, we need to move forward as a region. However, it's also important for us to concentrate on Tallahassee. As you mentioned, that is the jurisdiction that I'm serving in. And so,
I mean, you have your job to do.
Right.
But for the rest of us, when we think about that job and we think about the contributions that Tallahassee, the city of, makes, there's a kind of balancing act there, I think.
There is. And there's great organizations that support the electeds and make sure that we stay in constant communication, like the Northwest Florida League of Cities, which is a great venue for all of the electeds and all the municipalities across Northwest Florida, for that matter, but specifically in our region, to stay in touch on the issues. What people also tend to forget is that in the state of Florida, we have 412 municipalities.
Yeah.
The average population of a city in Florida is about 7,000. The population of the city of Tallahassee is 190,000. And then you have 290,000 just in Leon County, not taking into consideration the surrounding counties in the MSA. Yeah. So we have a municipal population of 190,000. We are a very strong medium-sized city. In fact, we are the eighth largest in the state of Florida out of 412. As you have said, yes, we have come a long way. I love Tallahassee. Tallahassee is a great city, and we are on track to be a leader as a 21st century community.
You are a native. When you came through the ranks, right, as a young man, and here we have your son Tommy with us here this morning. Tommy, say hi.
Hi.
Okay, there's Tommy. So when it comes to looking at his future, and you look at his future in comparison to where you were when you were Tommy's age, what do you notice?
Well, first of all, I hate to correct you, but I was not actually born in Tallahassee. I was raised.
You know what?
I was raised in Tallahassee.
I beg your pardon.
You got it correct. You got it correct. My family moved back to Tallahassee when I was about 6 months old. I was actually born in Hialeah, Miami, down in Miami-Dade.
Facts are facts. Okay.
Matter of fact, fascinating.
Well, let's talk about that first 6 months of life and how that influenced you.
But you are correct. I was raised in Tallahassee.
You're a native. Come on.
I am all but a native. I just wasn't born here. And I love Tallahassee. First, the quality of life in Tallahassee is second to none. Raising a family here in Tallahassee is incredible. I went to the same elementary school, Gilchrist, that my son Tommy and my other son Henry are attending now. We've got a great public educational school system. Of course, you always strive to be better. You're never perfect. But we've got a great public educational school system. The natural beauty of Tallahassee, just to get out and play, just play as a family is unbelievable. Our Parks and Rec and the programs that we provide for youth in Tallahassee, I have fond memories of going to Winthrop Park and having picnics with the family. I have fond memories of playing flag football and soccer and t-ball. I have fond memories of my church community and growing up in youth group. We are blessed to have an incredible quality of life, especially to raise kids. And I hope that my sons have the same opportunity, if not more, than what I had growing up here.
Being the mayor of Tallahassee and being one of those top cities in the state, and being a hub for the state of Florida,
right,
in the country, yeah, in a very curious way. It puts you in an interesting sort of spotlight.
During the session, I have the opportunity to provide welcomes and greetings to many groups that are here in Tallahassee lobbying the legislature. That's a whole nother subject I want to touch on in a second.
Yeah.
But what I remind people all the time is, no matter where you're from in Florida, you have a mayor and a commission from your community back home. But you are a Floridian, and this is your capital city of the state of Florida, and I am your mayor of your capital city.
Interesting.
And we try to roll out the red carpet every time Floridians come to visit their capital city.
Folks, we're talking with Mayor John Daley. He is here, and we're glad to have him with us. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WhiddonGlass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Mayor John Daley. Learning a little bit more about the role that he plays as ambassador for the city. But at the same time, you have your colleagues there with the city commission charged with administering all of the business of the people of city of Tallahassee. Which of late, let's say over the last two or three years, has been a little bit problematic, to say the least. It's been embarrassing at certain points.
Brian, I think it's important as leaders to not try to just push under the rug some of the challenges that our community has faced. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I work with four dynamic individuals on the city commission. We have got a great city commission. And each one of us are friends, first and foremost. We are professional colleagues, and we are all dedicated to moving this community forward. It is very refreshing to work with four other individuals that care so much about Tallahassee. And we don't agree on every issue, nor should we. That's how democracy works. But we share the common interest of truly moving Tallahassee forward, and we love this community. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. It's challenging. It's tough. Sometimes it can be frustrating, but we're really enjoying the overall experience.
Commissioner Matlow was with us here about a month ago. Jeremy and I had gotten to know each other during the campaign, became familiar with his agenda, his what he thought were most important issues, as we did with all of the candidates, as well as they were available to us. And so I asked him, I said, "So, you got the job. How's it going? What's it like? Are you hanging in there with all the other kids at that table?" And he kind of took a breath. He sat back a little bit. He said, "Well, being the newbie, I have a lot to learn." He wasn't disparaging in his remarks,
but he
acknowledged that there is a process, and there for him that has been the learning curve. It's like, okay, I want this to happen, but there are 1,001 incremental steps that go into making that happen.
Sure.
Whether it's sidewalks or if it's internet accessibility, but true to form, you know, Jeremy is a guy who says, you know, you all have your party. I'm going to go out here and just hang out with the common folk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did when the trip was scheduled, right, to go up to, I guess, to Greenville. He took some heat for that from some people. What did you think?
We're all grown adults.
Yeah.
We set our own schedule. I was concentrating on certain aspects of the trip that I wanted to really look into. Yeah. You know, I'm a planner by
profession,
by academic, and so I was really curious in jumping headfirst into the downtown and
how did they do that?
Yeah, they've done a great job with their downtown. Look, Greenville's got their challenges, just like every other community. But two things I think they've done pretty well is the master plan of their downtown and their economic expansion. More importantly, the pedestrian-friendly downtown.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in an academic theory called the 880 theory, which is you should design your municipalities for the 8-year-old and the 80-year-old to both enjoy. Because if an 8-year-old can enjoy walking down the sidewalk and the visual appeal and public art and restaurants and retail with family and everything, and the 80-year-old can do as well, everyone that falls in between will have a shared experience.
Interestingly, we have the Chain of Parks Art Festival.
One of the best in the nation.
And, the crown jewel. And when I talked to Kelly Dozier about that, this 880 idea comes up because others have said, some have said, shouldn't we relocate the festival so that it is more accessible, parking and having to traverse up and down, you know, between Gaston and Calhoun, all that sort of thing? She's waved that off. You agree? You think, nah, that's where it belongs? Or would
downtown,
you rather see it at Cascades Park?
Downtown is where it belongs, in the Chain of Parks. I mean, imagine on Saturday, and we will be there, strolling through the Chain of Parks with these beautiful live oak trees, which quite frankly we take for granted because we see every day.
Yeah.
And they have the beautiful moss, and it's going to be a gorgeous day, and it's a beautiful spring Tallahassee day with the number one arts festival in the nation.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Interesting. You talked about Tallahassee history. That particular avenue has some interesting history to it, doesn't it?
It does.
The fact that that was the demarcation,
the border
for the original town.
Absolutely.
And it was made extra wide, and they put up a wall to protect themselves from.
From the savages,
yeah.
As history reports. Yeah, you know, when we look at national history of nations across the country, or state history, or community history, not everything is pearly white and perfect. And I think part of learning of your history is also acknowledging
where you've come from.
Where you've come from.
Speaking of those issues, and I mentioned Commissioner Matlow, one of those that came up recently was this whole business of internet accessibility.
Correct.
And the outcry was, we don't want the public sector to be in competition with the private.
Well, is the end all goal connectivity or fiber optics? And that's a question that we have not answered or really truly had a conversation about. Should we be concentrating on fiber optics and laying fiber, or should we be concentrating on next generation 5G? Should we be digging more into the future proposed satellite communications, or are you familiar with Li-Fi, which is a spinoff of NASA technology that came out of Kennedy Space Center?
Right.
I think the end goal, and I agree with Commissioner Matlow and my colleagues, is connectivity. Obviously, we want to be that 21st century city, and we want to be a leader in the nation on state-of-the-art technology that adds to quality of life, that provides for connectivity. Before we invest $280 million or $300 million or $200 million or $50 million or whatever the price tag may be on the infrastructure to accomplish the goal of connectivity, let's not just plan for today, let's plan for tomorrow.
Wasn't that the object of the feasibility study? No? That wasn't within the scope of that. Okay.
The scope of the feasibility study was actually more of what is the business plan of creating an enterprise and how we are going to provide a service.
Sort of the backside of
how do we start a business, basically.
I see.
What I have often stated in my position is that we got to get a better idea of what is actually being proposed.
Get out in front of
you better believe
the technologies
it.
And what choices we have.
When I first got elected back to the county commission, our field, the people that are working in the field, public works, code enforcement, the practice was to go out really with a clipboard, you know, you might take notes on a laptop, come back in, connect up, file your paperwork, okay? And then we went to full laptops in the field, Okay. This is just for municipal and county services. Full, you know, laptops in the field. File your report out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone from laptops now to tablets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say we, I'm talking about municipal governments,
yeah.
county governments, local governments. Field work is done on tablets. Field work's now done on smartphones. Let's think. Let's get technical. Let's dig in deep. What is the connectivity?
Okay.
When you're in the field, you're actually connecting through cellular 5G, not mm-hmm. necessarily mm-hmm. fiber optics per se, mm-hmm. from a tablet form or from a smartphone form. Let's think about how we do business, and this is just us. And then let's look at the community. If you look, especially in Western Europe, if you look at how technology has changed, mm-hmm. they're moving more and more into not laptops and desktops. It's more of smartphone technology, mm-hmm. whether it's a tablet.
Mobility.
Mm-hmm. Mobility.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's stay ahead of the curve. And like I mentioned, you know, there is a great new technology that's come out of the mm-hmm. Kennedy Space Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Li-Fi, where they're actually doing experimental testing right now with sending your data through light waves and light beams and being able to connect one light bulb to the next, to the next, to the next. This technology actually exists, and I have personally experienced it down at the
wow.
Kennedy Space Center.
Mm.
They are testing now about whether you can do it outside with public infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
with streetlights.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we aggressively approach companies like this and be the leader in the model and say, we'll come to the table. It'll
yeah.
be a partnership.
Yeah.
We'll bring some resources as well. Mm. We understand that. But test your technology in our community and let's see if it works.
Sounds fascinating.
We need to expand our horizons before we just decide what's best for today.
Up or down.
Mm-hmm. Let's invest in mm-hmm. fiber.
Talking with Mayor Daley. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with the mayor, John E. Daley. Not technically a native of Tallahassee, but by all means, I mean, he's been here all of his life.
All my life.
Last 6 months.
All my life.
So there you go. And a proud graduate of Gilchrist Elementary.
That's right.
Which is saying a lot, because Gilchrist is still a very cool school, according to Tommy, his son, who was here in studio with us.
Just celebrated the 50th anniversary.
Look at that.
And they made a video of me. I could still sing the Gilchrist song, and I did on their
video.
Whoa. Yeah, it's good
stuff.
Look
at you.
Good stuff.
Man, I don't even think I know the name of my elementary. Actually, I do Brookside Elementary up there in Seattle. So
I can name my homeroom teacher from kindergarten to 12th grade if
look
you
at
want.
That. Tom.
Well, and this goes back to the conversation we had about quality of life. I was so fortunate to have amazing teachers at every grade level growing up here in Tallahassee, and I'm so thankful for that.
In fact, there are lots of ways in which this town has changed. There are some things that have not changed. There are aspects to the town, good and bad, that have endured, have remained. Some of them are sort of curious obstacles to our progress. Some of them are doorways and great opportunities for expansion, right, that have opened up. The infrastructure, it seems to me, is a fundamental component of that.
Mm-hmm.
When we can host something like Word of South, and we have now the facility to be able to showcase that event. And it's a nationally recognized event.
I agree. But there are two elements I will tell you right now that I think we need in Tallahassee.
Tell me.
One is a true performing arts center. We are the only capital city in the nation that does not have a performing arts
center. Where is the pushback on that? It was funded and then it stalled, and for, you know, Bob Enzer for years was just, he was on the show back in the day,
right,
when he was still clerk of court.
Right.
And I mean, I think I've only had one or two other men tear up while on the show with me. And he was one of those.
Sure.
When he talked about, why are we not doing this?
For the quality of arts and culture that we have in this community, we would be able to fill every night a Performing Arts Center show.
And the last time Willie was here, where was he? He was out at the Pavilion.
That's right.
At the Center of.
That's right.
Which brings up a whole nother can of worms, because we've now seen that facility struggling. You know, the death of the guy who was really the kingpin to that whole thing. And from that point forward, it's just been this sort of thing. Which leads me to say, congratulations on the purchase of Northwood Mall. I guess that's a good thing.
We have all been purchased a mall. And I look forward to getting
$7
million. Let me just say, the other thing that I think that Tallahassee desperately needs is a true state-of-the-art children's museum. A children's STEM experience museum. Up in Columbia, South Carolina, it's called Adventure. In Greenville, it's called the Children's Museum of the Upstate.
Wow.
You know, Raleigh has one. Tampa, St. Pete, Orlando, Pensacola, I believe, has one as well. And it's these amazing facilities where children can go, play, learn, spend time with families. They're pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you to go visit if you ever get a chance.
It's an interesting concept. It hadn't occurred to me, but as a kid growing up in Seattle, the 1962 World's Fair happened there, right?
Right.
To your side, if you have a facility of that kind, imagine what kind of impact you might have. What would that take? What would we have to do to make that happen, you think?
I don't know, and I am looking into all the details on how to bring these type of cornerstone projects to life. I know that the Sharing Tree, which is an amazing organization in Tallahassee, they have a shared vision as well.
So there are others who have a similar concept in mind.
Absolutely.
So you're not.
And part of it is land. Brings us back to the purchase that the city just did.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Brian, I think history will look back on the city of Tallahassee and realize this bold move by this city commission to purchase the Northwood Center, to be able to, in a laser-focused manner, redevelop that parcel of land to serve as an anchor on North Monroe Street will be the beginning of the revitalization of North Monroe. So if you think of the Northwood Center on North Monroe, all the way down to the corner of North Monroe and Orange Avenue, where we are also building a state-of-the-art housing facility as along with our new Star Metro site down there.
Right.
Those are your two anchors. And the development and economic development
in between
will be absolutely amazing.
We have Patty Ballantyne with us talking about CarePoint and that whole contribution as a primary care facility for insured and uninsured.
Sure.
That's a remarkable contribution to the South Side.
So here's how it went down. We are right now taking public comment on where a proposed new police station should go. Let me be first to tell you that there's nothing set in stone.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the new Northwood Center will be. There'll be a lot of public input as we move forward. However, that was the number one most recommended site. So we do our due diligence on every single piece of property that's been recommended. Staff looked into it, and as soon as we looked into it, we realized that it was in receivership. It was bank-owned. And then we looked into it a little bit more and realized it was going to public auction.
Mm.
From a planner standpoint, there is not another 34-acre piece of property, basically in downtown Tallahassee, that is zoned with the highest density and intensity that is in receivership that was the starting auction bid was well below the appraised value.
Wow.
We were able to acquire the main parcel and a few out parcels for $6.8 million. The appraised value was $8.8 million. It grosses $1 million a year net. I mean, it grosses $1 million a year right now from the tenants that we have. Even if the city was to just sit on the facility for 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. It pays for itself through acquisition. But the opportunity to dream big, dream bold. I'm not talking about incremental change. We're heading in the right direction as a city, and every year we get a little bit better. I'm talking about transformational change. If you want true transformational change, you have to think big and bold. And that's what this commission is doing. It's really exciting.
Well, we've had a fair amount of that big, bold conversation with you here this morning, Mayor. I have to tell you, you and I should do this more often.
I would love to come back very soon.
I mean, because, you know, nobody else knows what you know.
That's right.
You know stuff. Certainly no more than I do. And I'm grateful that you're as candid as you are about some of these issues. Perhaps we'll even host a roundtable with you and some other folks at some point.
That'd be great.
We'll talk about that. It's our mission. You know, it's what we want to do. We want to be that conduit so that everybody has an opportunity to participate in the conversation. You've been generous with us this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Mayor John Daley, our friend and a friend to this community and to many across the state and across the country, our guest this morning. Folks, it's what we do here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's sound to the world. We are playing all original songs from all local musicians. MooseMagnificat.com is where you'll find us. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.